Greetings, Alpha Seekers. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Dugin Ventures podcast. So, Mr. Market has kind of an upset tummy today. Dow is down a little. S&P is down a very little. So, basically, unch, as we say in the trade, unchanged. And popped on today because I got yet another Bloomberg thing that's kind of tough to copy. Although I found out it can do that on the phone. But anyway, I'll just use it for this. So it talks about the dawn of the Biden era and basically $2 trillion virus fighting and economic bailout package. And this is from Jonathan Bernstein or Stein, I'm not sure which. And he says, the first thing to say is that Biden's speech drove the final nail into the coffin of mainstream liberal attempts to make Democrats the party of fiscal restraint, which is a trend that began in earnest after Republicans adopted big deficit policies in 1981. For almost 40 years, Democrats tried and failed to convince journalists and pundits that they were the party that cared about federal budget deficits. Over the same period, Democrats occasionally sought credit from voters for lowering, and even when Bill Clinton was president, erasing deficits. He goes on to say, to be sure, Democrats were still Keynesians, favoring expanded deficits during hard times, but they also came to believe in paying for, this is the PAYGO thing, for new spending, even when that meant supporting higher taxes when they thought increased revenues were needed. As recently as Obama's presidency, they tried to rein in deficits when they got high. That seems to be over. Congressional Democrats spent freely and tried to spend even more to fight the coronavirus. Now, that was a crisis, so that fits into the old PAYGO. But now, and I pointed this out before, new rules in the House de-emphasize the costs of new programs. Biden not only asked for a large bill only a few weeks after Congress passed the $900 billion round of spending, but took on the argument head-on, saying that economists support larger deficits right now, which they do, by and large. So if you take that $900 billion that already passed plus this new $1.9 billion, we're talking almost $3 trillion. And as Everett Dirksen used to say, you know, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money. Now, you could update that to a trillion here, a trillion there, pretty soon you're talking real money. But it's not real money. Everybody knows it's funny money. And everybody should also know that you can raise the rates as high as you want, but you're not going to get anywhere near what you expect to. I was just listening to CNBC, which I'm back to watching so you don't have to after a brief foray into the insurance business. And Steve Weiss was on and he said, you know, I'm buying puts. And he always used to wonder, why don't you just sell the stock? Well, the reason he doesn't sell the stock and buys puts is because he doesn't want to take the tax consequences. Well, you can only imagine that, you know, in a world of higher capital gains, people are going to stick with equities for longer and just, you know, do their risk off through options and not have to pay the tax consequences. So, and believe me, when you get a tax statement for options, you're not going to enjoy it because it'll be page after page after page if you're active in buying and selling. I remember when my accountant got it, he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, I don't know. Attach it to the return. I doubt if anybody at the IRS is going to want to audit it, but or would even know how. So in any event, we've got a lot of money getting thrown out here. So that could obviously be quite stimulative for a lot of industries. But as Barack Obama said during his administration and has proved ever since, trying to do something positive for the South Side with the Obama Center, there's no such thing as a shovel-ready project. So if you put all this money out there for infrastructure and stimulus, nothing will happen for months, maybe years. And the environmentalists and the on the progressive side will basically undercut and undermine the intent of the stimulus by fighting every project that comes through. So, you know, they're all tied up in knots over there. Bernstein says, I don't think Democrats will flip all the way to simply ignoring deficits, which, you know, we'll see. I mean, really, the younger ones have already, like the AOCs, have already caught on to the fact that this modern monetary theory is a theology or a philosophy or whatever you want to call it, that really allows you to spend an infinite amount of money as long as you can come up with a GDP increase that's higher than the interest rates. And, of course, you can manipulate the interest rates through the Fed and the Treasury. So you can always keep it. You know, if you have a negative GDP change, then that becomes a little difficult. But, you know, they can manage those stats, too, frankly. GDP is kind of a tough thing to measure. And I think that the integrity of that measurement right now is at least it's consistent with the way they've calculated it in the past. But that doesn't mean it always has to be that way. You know, look at the way the Chinese manipulate their numbers. So if we're going to start competing with the Chinese, we may start to adopt some of their financial measurement techniques, which are all happy talk, which are all party line. This is how much GDP went up. See, we ordered it to go up and it went up. Well, you know, you're counting the votes. So he says, I don't think Democrats will flip all the way to simply ignoring deficits, and some moderates may split with the mainstream liberals over fiscal policy, but it really does sound like the center of the party has moved. That's for sure. So let's see if he has anything else. Yeah, so if you're going to do things through the normal rules of the Senate on a bipartisan basis, you got to get 10 Republicans to sign on, which seems unlikely. So either they'll have to eliminate the filibuster, which wouldn't surprise me if they did. Joe won't like that, but, you know, Joe's just the president. And or they could accept, and he doesn't have a vote in the Senate, by the way, whereas Kamala Harris does. And she has the decisive vote. Or they can use reconciliation. Or they could loosen the reconciliation rules. And you know they're going to do whatever they need to do to spend what they want to spend. So, you know, they got a lot of... They really have a much larger mandate now post these riots or insurrection or whatever. 90% of Americans oppose that. It's a very high number on the Republican side, too, and that's why they have a bipartisan mandate at this point, frankly. So that little outburst, not so little, but that last futile, stupid gesture on the part of Trump really helped his opposition a lot. And I think we'll see the ramifications of that going forward. So that's about it from him, but I just wanted to call that one out. So then let's see what else I've got that I shared on the exciting Nugent Ventures LinkedIn page. Bear with me. Everything is done on my phone now. Oh, Mark Fisher's going to be on today at noon. Is that 11 o'clock or is that Tuesday? Yeah, watch the Tuesday halftime report. There's a guy named Mark Fisher, who is a legendary trader with MBF Trading. I haven't seen him on for a while, but all these traders treat him like, you know, the Warren Buffett of futures. And he's the guy who said to me, or said to the CNBC's audience, I should say, that he's made a lot more money on momentum than he has on anything else over the years. But he's a guy who knows when to get in early and when to get out early. And my temperamental disposition is not bad. You know, I miss out on the early stage stuff and then I get in when it seems like there is no alternative and then I get smashed. So I don't do momentum. So if you want a momentum guy, you know, you got to find somebody else. But you can make a lot of money on it if you're temperamentally suited toward it, but it's the old Aristotle, Aristotelian, know thyself. All right, so what else is going on here? Today is an exciting day for me. What about me? Some guy on LinkedIn says, today's an exciting day for me. And I'm like, well, what about me? So I thought I had put out some posts on the LinkedIn company page, but it looks like I haven't really put anything out since I last reported. So I've run out of material. That means the podcast has come to an unexpected and grinding halt. So I'll be back on the air tomorrow, and or I probably will be. But I certainly will be back on Sunday, because that's our Sunday paper edition, where I read the trib so you don't have to. And probably take you less time to read the Tribune than listen to me, because I expound and expand upon the content. But you know the drill, you longtime listeners. And so I'll close on that. Live long, prosper, stay safe. Try to score some vaccine. There's a new way to do it, which is that according to J.B. Pritzker, the hospitals are getting big batches, not big, but enough for their employees, and some of their employees don't want it. And that's scary. But rather than just, once you open up that vial, you know, it goes bad. So rather than just washing it down, maybe they should put it in the water. I don't know. But rather than just throwing it down the proverbial toxic waste dump, they are talking about letting seniors with pre-existing conditions, and that would be me, come in and get the shot in the arm. So I hit up Anya's doctor, actually, is a concierge guy and has privileges at Northwestern. And he didn't know about that. You know, you'd be surprised. Sometimes you know more about this stuff than the doctors do, because, you know, he already got his vaccine, so I presume. So he said he would see what he could do on that, and maybe he can't do anything. But, you know, I did have to go outside the friendly confines of my basement bunker here and make a pilgrimage out to the Southlands for business, of course. I don't socialize, but I do business. And so I was thinking to myself, boy, if I got to do this on a regular basis, I sure would like to have the vax. Otherwise, you know, one breath from death here. So anyway, live long, prosper, see if you can score some vax. Wear a mask meanwhile, and we'll talk to you over the weekend. Bye-bye.